How long has it been since you've seen somebody shout and give a testimony? Now, I'm not saying that's the sum total of righteousness, but I am going to tell you it's going to happen when revival comes.
And that's what we hope to accomplish with your help, of course. Our good old-fashioned revival is kicking off this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Now, tomorrow is our 71st homecoming. So come join us tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., our 71st homecoming. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 7 p.m., is our good old-fashioned revival. Find out more online or on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. That's S-H-A-R-O-N. We hope to see you there. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Have you ever stopped to really think and give consideration and ask the question to ourselves, why do we need revival? Why is it? What reasons could you give? What explanation would you have as to answer the question as to why our church needs revival? Why my life needs revival? Why your life needs revival? Well, there's a good, perfect answer for that in the book of Psalms. Psalm 85. Turn with us, please, there. I'm going to read the first 13 verses in Psalm 85 and try to answer the question as to why we need revival. If you know sometimes why you need something, then it'll help you to about go about getting it, won't it? If you know you need a new car, then you seek about getting a new car. If you need a new house, you start house hunting, don't you? If we need revival, where do you go? You ask God. He said, ask and you shall receive. Look at this in Psalm 85, verse 1. The psalmist has written here, and he speaks to the Lord about what God had done. He said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Couldn't we just stop there and say hallelujah and go home and be blessed? God has been favorable to America, hasn't he? Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought us back. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Stop and pause and think about what you just read. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Here's a question. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Verse 6 will help us if we look at that verse again. Put into context what we're sharing about why we need revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Verse 6 tells us why we need revival, that we can rejoice again in the Lord. In answer to that question, Lord, would you revive us again? The psalmist answers that God's people may rejoice in thee. Now, you need to see the context here in which this psalm was written. In the first three verses here, you find carefully the words, thou hast forgiven. You see that? Iniquity, covered our sins, taken away all your wrath, turned yourself from the fierceness of your anger toward us. The psalmist remembers a time when God delivered Israel from captivity. He remembers a previous revival, you might say, in a time backward when God did all these wonderful things for the captivity of Israel. Couldn't we all go back in time sometime in our lives when God blessed a church where you were a part or where you were attending for revival somewhere, and its previous revival, God had just blessed in a very marvelous way. God forgave sins. God put away iniquity. God took care of lawlessness and wickedness. Listen, a time which God, in His marvelous grace, restrained the fierceness of His anger. In verses 4 through 13, the psalmist talks about the possibility of another revival. Beloved, listen, we haven't gone too far as a nation not to have revival because we're still a nation. We haven't gone too far as a church that we couldn't have another revival. We've not gone too far that we couldn't have another great awakening. I'm not going to say that will happen, but there's a good possibility it could happen. If God's people will act like we should and do what we're supposed to do, then God will break through again from heaven into us again. Then the psalmist here is very explicit here in the instructions here. He gives us the definition of things that we need for revival. Listen, the central message is this. Will you revive us again? We need reviving again. Well, if revival comes to us again, what's going to take place? What's involved in revival if it comes to the church again, if it comes to your life again, and mine? What would we expect if God breaks through to us again in a great moving of God that we call revival today? I think there's three things here I see in these verses that will take place if true revival comes. The first thing I want you to notice that will take place if God breaks through to us and revives us again is that revival will restrain the fierceness or the righteous anger of God. In verses 4 through 6, it's very clear, he says, God is angry with His people who live in an unrevived state. Do you know the Bible makes no provision where all that we could be backslidden somewhere? We're supposed to always be living in a revived state. But when we don't, it angers God against us. God doesn't want us to live like that. Look at verse 5 and 6 very carefully here. Just go back and look at those two verses just for a moment. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Notice these verses carefully. They state the description of what's happening when revival restrains the anger of God. Why does it? Why does it need to happen? Three things I want you to see. Why? Number one, we need revival because of the wickedness of God's people. Iniquity here in verse number 1. Wickedness. Isn't it strange that you'd find recorded wickedness in the lives of God's people? Wickedness in the lives of saved people? You do realize, don't you, that saved people always possess two natures. You have an old nature that you carry to your grave, and you have a new nature when you get saved. When you allow the Holy Spirit of God to dominate that new nature and it dominates your life, you live in a revived state. But when we let the old nature rise up within us and start dictating to us what we do and how we live, then that old nature rises up and brings wickedness in our lives. Listen, Jeremiah was right when he said the heart is deceitful. The heart is desperately wicked. He says, who can know it? Beloved, you don't know. I don't know. Jeremiah says nobody knows the potential of wickedness in your own heart. Wickedness finds expression through your lives when you let that old nature just rise up within you and dominate you for a period of time. How desperate, how evil, how unpredictable our hearts are. How wicked, he says. That evil tries to express itself in ways to explain away God's commands, explain away God's demands in our lives. When you can start justifying, you think, and explain away God's demands in your life, explain away what God wants you to do, explain away how God wants you to live, you then give yourself the right to live like you want to, and wickedness is the result. Do you not remember what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 66? He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. Do you ever wonder sometimes why your prayers don't seem to be answered? You ever wonder sometimes why your life's not blessed as you really think it ought to be? You ever wonder sometimes why your service for God seems just lackluster? Don't care if you do, don't care if you don't. You ever wonder why God doesn't seem to hear your prayer? Maybe it's because there's wickedness in us. Maybe that old nature is rising up in us. Listen, wickedness will restrain the righteous anger of God. Wickedness causes God to be angry. Revival will restrain that wickedness. A second thing he mentions here in verse 2 is lawlessness. Not just wickedness, lawlessness. Wickedness always leads to lawlessness. That is an apparent violation of the will of God and the laws of God and the command of God to us. If you can explain away in your own heart and rationalize, justify, whatever word you want to use, if you can just justify the demands of God away in your own life, then you can feel okay about doing what you want to do. You feel okay about disobeying the laws of God. How prevalent that is today. Look at our nation. Just look at our nation. We've tried to explain away God's demands in our lives. It's wicked. We have tried to justify living like we want to live, doing what we want to live, and feel okay about it. That is lawlessness, disobeying God's commands. Now bring that down to a church level. A lot of folks wouldn't think a thing about lawlessness to a child of God, but listen. If you don't come to church, you've committed sin. Do you know that? You realize that? God commands us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. That's a command of God. When you violate that and you disobey that, you have sinned against God. What about being faithful to God? It's required of stewards that first of all and foremost in our lives, we are to be found faithful. When we're not found faithful, we've sinned. I just preached a few weeks ago about tithing. When you don't tithe, you've sinned. We don't think about these things, but they're lawless. They're disobeying the commands of God. This wickedness and this lawlessness has really invaded the young people in our nation. It's lured them off into drug abuse. It's lured them off into all kinds of alcoholism, drug abuse, immorality, easy divorce today, and 100 other things I could mention, simply just because we've got to rationalize away God's demands and disobey God. It's wickedness, it's lawlessness. That's why we need revival. But notice something else here. Not just wickedness, not just lawlessness, but carelessness. Carelessness. Wickedness and lawlessness always leads to carelessness. Beloved, listen to me. We better not become careless about our service for the Lord. We better not become careless about the ministry God's called us to. We cannot afford to be careless about how God's working and wants to work in our lives. We cannot be so careless and become insensitive to evil that's all around us today. It really bothers me, I don't know about you, when sometimes I view things on the news, and I know news is depressing, I understand that, but sometimes I view things on the news and I see people mocking God, scoffing at God, just doing things like they want that they know is not pleasing to the Lord, and it bothers me when people are so careless with their life. Listen, God does not condemn sin in a sinner and condone it in His people. God has one standard. It's a very high standard for all His people. God doesn't have, well, our nation has double standards. You know that. We're right in the middle of the most double standard living that we've ever lived in all of our born days, have we not? You see all kinds of, this is for you, but not for me. We're having a double standard lifestyle today. But we seem almost to forget as a church. We want to see God bring judgment on the sinner. We want to see God bring judgment upon things that are wrong. But we seem to forget the fact that judgment begins where? House of God. judgment begins with God's people. God has a very high standard for us, for the church, for the Christian, for the individual. We better never forget it. God gets angry with us when we lower God's standards and have double standards and try to justify and live in an unrevived state. Verse 4, if you'll go back and look at it, look what verse 4 says. He calls God's people back to repentance. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. He calls God's people to repentance again and back to faithfulness. That's why we need revival today, because of wickedness, lawlessness, and carelessness. That's reason enough to have revival, isn't it? But there's more here. Oh, there's more here. Why we need revival. Not just that it will restrain the fierce anger of God. Have you ever stopped to think God may be angry with you? He is. Maybe that's why what's going on in our nation is going on today. God's angry with our nation for turning our backs on God. God may be angry with the church why we're not blessed as we could be. But there's another reason why we need revival. Not just because it restrains the anger of God, it does something else. Revival, true, heaven-sent, breaking upon us revival, will do this. It will restore the consciousness of God again. In verses 6 through 8, you find these verses. I believe the definition of true revival is this. It's a conscious awareness personally. It's a conscious awareness corporately. It's a conscious awareness of the presence of God. When God breaks through to a church, when God breaks through to your life, nothing else matters. Nothing else will matter when God breaks through in our lives. Revival is an invasion from heaven, being aware of God. What is it that we're supposed to be aware of if revival brings a good new awareness of the consciousness presence of God? Here's what you'll see. Once again in the church, we'll see God's smiling face. Do you believe God turns His face away from us when we sin? Do you believe God turns His face away from the church when the church sins? Yes, He does. But when revival comes, you see, and restores to us the awareness conscious of God, we'll see the smiling face of God again. Let me give you an example of that. Think back in the book of Numbers. When Absalom revolted against the king, he was penalized. He could not see the king's face for 3 years. Now you imagine that. Imagine not seeing the smiling face of God for a period of time, whatever it may be. I pray and I ask, oh God, show us again the smiling of your face. Revival will bring that, a conscious awareness of the presence of God. We'll see again in the church the smiling face of God and God's grace and God's mercy upon us again. We'll see the smiling of His face, but we'll also see the showing of His grace. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Awareness of God's presence to the church, awareness of God's presence in your life and mine assures us, listen, of victory. This is a divine intention for all believers to be conscious of the awareness of the presence of God. I wonder if we see that, realize that every time we come to meet here. Do we realize the divine presence of God's with us? He is. He wants to be. Do you have that in your life day by day? You know that God's divinely with you. Are you consciously aware that the presence of God is with you wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you are, what's going on in your life? God's always there. Revival will cause that to come back to an awareness of us of the very consciousness of the presence of God. But I'll tell you something else revival will do. We'll not just see His smiling face and show His marvelous grace. We'll also hear the sounding of His voice. Listen to verse 8, what verse 8 says. Surely, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Every true God-sent, heaven-sent revival will bring a consciousness of the presence of God and the speaking of God's voice. The Bible will once again come alive to God's people. So many people don't even ever read the Bible anymore. They don't bring the Bible to church. They never think a thing about God's Word. But if you have true revival in your heart, in your church, in your life, I promise you, you will hear the Word of God. It'll come alive again to you and in your own personal life. Listen, there's God will speak. How do you think God speaks to us today? A number of ways I know that He does. But when we come corporately together to worship, God speaks to us through and by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, doesn't it? I can recall reading of the Great Awakening in America. How that when God's man, whoever he might have been, didn't matter about the man of God, just whoever he was, the man of God would stand and read the Word of God and preach the Word of God. It says that people would just be silenced under the authority of the Word of God. You don't see that anymore. People take God's Word and just flip it off as a little something or nothing they want to take or leave. If revival comes, I promise you, it will cause a conscious awareness of the presence of God and the preaching of the Word. The Bible will come alive. You'll love it again as we once did. That's why we need revival. To restrain the fierce anger of God. To restore the awareness of God's presence with us. But I think there's a third reason we need revival. True revival will reveal the gracious activities of God. You find that in verses 9 through 13 there. Read those for yourself. Is there ever a time when God's not active? No. Is there a time ever when God's not at work? No. The proof we need is revival, that we'll see God work. God's always working. Everywhere around the world, God's working. But the proof we need revival is we don't see it. We don't recognize God at work anymore. We ought to see God working. When revival comes, God will bring back the veil, and we will see the working activities of God. Where are you going to see it, preacher? If I'm going to see the working of God's activity, I need to know where I'm going to expect to see it. All right, here you go. You'll see it, first of all, in some saving activity. Look at verse 9. You'll see it there. God is today saving people all around the world. But in great numbers, we don't see that. Huge, wide, sweeping revivals, we don't hear about that. But God's saving people all over this world in pockets, here, there, and everywhere else. But listen, that's just a small trickle of what true revival could really bring to our church, to our nation, to the world indeed. According to the world's population, not much saving activity you're seeing today, are we? Well, if revival comes, it'll charge up God's people, and we'll get out and win the lost to Jesus as we never have before. Oh, dear God, send us such another visitation of revival to our hearts in our lives, to see the saving activity. Revival's not about saving the lost as such. That goes with it. But revival's about reviving God's people to do the work of God. You'll see saving activity if revival comes. You'll see also sanctifying activity there. You'll see it evident in three ways. We've seen it over the years. You have to go back sometime and look at it, but you'll see it. You'll see God's sanctifying activity in people's personal lives. Listen, description of a sanctified life is all wrapped up in the qualities that you find in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus dwells in us like He wants to, in revival like He wants to, listen to me, all flesh is going to be able to see the glory of God. That men may see your good works, Jesus said, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God wants us to be married to truth. He wants us to be married to mercy, to righteousness and peace. You'll see that in the personal lives of people when revival comes. But you'll also see it not just in personal lives. You'll see it in the general life. Oh, how our nation, in the general lives of people in our nation today, how we need revival. Do you realize some of the wonderful things that's happened through revival over the years? They go back a long way. You hear a lot about Black Lives Matter today, and they do matter to God. But listen, the abolition of slavery, do you know it began as a result of a revival? That's where it began, to free the slaves. Do you realize that the Salvation Army was begun as a result of a revival? Do you realize that what we know as the YMCA today was begun as a result of a revival? Listen to me. The most prosperous years our nation has ever seen or ever will be seen again will have to come through God breaking through and reviving us again. Listen, I know most of our higher education institutions today have gone so far to the left, you wouldn't even recognize how they were started. But most of our institutions, our good ones used to be, were started through church revivals. But alas, where have they gone? So you'll see revival come. You'll see God's sanctifying work in personal lives, in the general life of our nation, but also in material life. You'll see God's people be blessed again. You'll see God's people be prosperous again. Again, I say the most precious times our nation's ever had was when revival came. Verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. When God moves through his church, when God moves through the lives of his people, he lays down a path, you see, for us to follow. Then, listen to me, then and then only will our nation be ever blessed again of God. Do you recall what Proverbs 14 says? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Do you wonder why our nation's in the mess it's in today? I'll tell you why. It's because of wickedness, lawlessness, and carelessness. It's because of sin. Righteousness will only exalt our nation, but sin will just destroy us if we don't turn back. I hope I've answered the reasons, some reasons why we need revival. To restrain the anger of God, to restore the awareness of God, and to reveal the activities of God. Jesus says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Are you prepared, church, to ask? I'm prepared to ask. I've been asking already. I hope you have been. If you haven't been, I want to ask you to do one thing today. Go back and look at verse 6 again. I want you to pray that prayer with me today. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? How long has it been since you saw in a church fellowship rejoicing in the Lord? How long has it been since you've seen somebody shout and give a testimony? Now, I'm not saying that's the sum total of righteousness, but I am going to tell you it's going to happen when revival comes. I can promise you that it will. Would you join with me today? And would you pray with me, verse 6, oh God, would you not revive us again that your people can rejoice again in you?
The world needs a revival. Come help us start one Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. This Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're kicking off our good old-fashioned revival. Also, tomorrow is our 71st homecoming, 10:30 a.m. Come join us for our 71st homecoming. And then again, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our good old-fashioned revival at 7 p.m. I really hope to see you there. Find us online or on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. That's Sharon. God bless you.